What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Okay, before we dive in, I want to share with you a portion of a letter to the editor written by my father. It was published in the Frederick News Post, the local newspaper that Mark was featured in a multitude of times over the years. He submitted this letter in a June 2000 issue. The theme of the letter is D-Day, quote, the most important day in the history of democracy, end quote, as Mark states. He writes, quote, what was at stake was significant, not only for those alive during the war years, but for the millions to follow. Would the world be completely overtaken by fascism, or would democracy rule this earth? End quote. He then goes on to describe the events of that day in history in a brief synopsis. Mark concludes the letter by writing, quote, so why do I torture my children by insisting that they learn about something that happened 56 years ago? Because I want them to remember the sacrifices that others made so that you could be free. Free to be who you want to be and do what you want to do. To enjoy the diversity that this world offers by knowing that no matter what a person's skin color, ethnicity, religion, or language, they have something significant to contribute. Most of all, I want them to be appreciative and respectful of those men who laid their lives on the line and made the ultimate sacrifice so that all of us can enjoy the freedom that is too often taken for granted. End quote. Welcome back to The Felon Who Raised Me, Episode 2, Gaver Technologies Incorporated, / The Golden Boy of Frederick. I am your host, Jackie Crow. I'm excited for this week because we're going to be talking about something that I know from two very different perspectives. Through the lens of a child, at a time when my father's reputation was being established within the community in a profound way, and now in hindsight, as an adult with much more context about what was really going on behind closed doors. To really understand Mark's evolution as a businessman and a pillar of the Frederick community, you have to get into his mindset about the way he grew up versus the life he dreamed of creating for himself. Throughout my childhood, it was presented to me by my father that he had a very simple upbringing and came from a family that had next to nothing, even though his father spent 24 years in the Air Force. Upon his retirement, my grandfather worked as a furniture salesman, while my grandmother worked for the local telephone company. Now, while I don't know their exact salaries, I have to imagine that with a substantial career in the military, surpassing the 20-year requirement for a pension, they couldn't have been doing too badly for themselves and their three children. That's also, of course, without knowing their lifestyle, too. If, for example, they were known to live beyond their means, that would certainly play a factor in how money should be allocated for family necessities. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Again, this is all alleged. I truly don't know the specifics, but the point is, Mark claims that he came from nothing. Quote, rags to riches, unquote, is how he painted his life story, and he reveled in it. From a household where he was always labeled a quote-unquote failure, where no one appreciated him, to a hometown hero.
I think it was masked as a way for him to point out how grateful we should be for everything we had. But even more than that, I believe it was an over-embellishment to make himself look all the more impressive and accomplished. So let's talk about how this all played out.
Mark founded Gaver Technologies, Inc., which I'll refer to moving forward as GTI, in 1998, which was a very exciting time in technology. The tech industry was evolving rapidly, and my father was an opportunist. In fact, he had said many times that growing up he wanted to be a gym teacher until he found out how little he'd be paid.
Money seemed like it was always high on his list of priorities. GTI was an internet technology government contracting company, with its largest client being the Department of Energy in Germantown, Maryland. I remember when my dad's first corporate office opened in downtown Frederick. It was located at 154 North Market Street. This was a prime spot for business, a C and B scene commercial space. I visited that office many times. My dad would take me with him to take your daughter to work day, or we'd stop in so he could either do a bit of last-minute work and or grab something he'd forgotten on our way home from an extracurricular activity of mine. I remember feeling important every time I walked into the building and prideful of my father because he was in charge. It was unlike anything I'd experienced before in my 12 short years. Around this same time, Mark was becoming involved in the downtown Frederick business community. He joined the Kiwanis Club of Suburban Frederick in 1999. And then between the years of 2001 and 2007, Mark's life changed in some pivotal ways. First, GTI got a new home at 125 South Carroll Street, still located in downtown Frederick, but bigger in square footage. GTI had just acquired hub zone status. I'll very briefly explain what that is. Hub zone stands for historically underutilized business zone, and businesses that work with the federal government can apply for this certification by meeting its specific qualifications and, if awarded this status, receive certain perks toward their contracts. So GTI acquired this hub zone certification, which allowed them to acquire 19 new employees. With this status and these new hires, GTI was now accommodating over 50 total employees. Business was expanding and things were going well. GTI continued working with the Department of Energy, as well as the Department of the Army and Transportation Security Administration. But for some reason, in a July 2001 Frederick News Post article, Mark failed to mention the latter two agencies and instead claimed that GTI had contracts with Johns Hopkins University, Troy Systems Inc., and DynCorp IMSD. I found no record of GTI having ever worked with any of these three agencies. Also in 2001, Mark served on the Weinberg Center Board of Directors, his first board of what would become many. According to my sources within the community, once you volunteer for one board, you get inundated with invitations to serve on other boards. Knowing my dad, this had to have made him feel very important and in demand. He loved to be the center of attention, and so he never said no. Throughout the years, Mark not only served on multiple boards, but he was also publicly endorsing local politicians and making donations toward the Maryland Board of Elections. My father was a moderate fiscal Republican who was just into politics enough to make me disinterested in them. The more he talked politics at home, the more I hated them. My dad infamously said to me right before I turned 18, quote, "You can vote any way you want as long as it's Republican," end quote. It's probably not surprising to learn that I registered as a Democrat as soon as I could. He endorsed Sue Heck, Democrat, for Maryland State Delegate. Her campaign slogan was, "Heck yes," which I thought was hilarious. So good. Louise Snodgrass, Republican, for Maryland State Delegate. David Brinkley for the U.S. Senate. And Scott Raleigh for Congress. I recall all of these names. I met all of them at least once. Some of them visited our family home. Brinkley came to my wedding, and Raleigh was even my defense attorney when I got busted for pot in 2007. That's another story for another day. In 2002, my parents built a new home in Middletown, a 5-bedroom, 5.5-bath, 7,612-square-foot house that would become the final home I'd live in with them. My mom would later confide in me that she never wanted to move to that house. She loved our home in the Foxfield development that we had lived in from 1996 to 2002, and couldn't understand at the time why my father was so insistent on upgrading yet again. Although, as an aside, she grew to love that house very much, and we all really miss it to this day. Mark eventually won that battle, though, and we moved into the Woodmere Estates development the fall of my sophomore year of high school. Mark took on even more community involvement that year as well. In 2002, he joined the Middletown Revitalization Committee and served as the Tech Council of Maryland Frederick Network co-chairman. His public image was reaching new heights, giving him more and more power over the people around him. 2003 was a big year for Mark. He became the Kiwanis Club of Suburban Frederick president. GTI was taking off, pulling in over $1.5 million in annual revenue. But perhaps the most interesting thing that occurred that year was that Mark obtained his first commercial line of credit to help finance GTI's operations. This line of credit was obtained through Waypoint Bank, which later became Sovereign Bank. Some of the Waypoint employees opened a Greystone Bank, and my father followed them and continued their banking relationship, including the commercial line of credit. In 2004, Mark served on the Fort Detrick Alliance Board. GTI had another great year, pulling in over $1.3 million in annual revenue, and was honored as a top 10 family-friendly business of Frederick County. In an article for the Frederick News Post, a GTI employee, quote, said he is probably the heaviest user of the company's family-friendly policies, which allow him to have his two children in the office often. Quote, it allows me to stay connected to my kids, unquote, end quote. In an August 2004 Frederick News Post feature article, Mark made claims that GTI had contracts with the Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Explosives, Veterans Administration, Executive Office of the President, and the Smithsonian Institution. None of these contracts with any of these agencies could be substantiated through my extensive research. In the fall of 2004, Mark partnered with Frederick Community College to start the GTI Federal Scholarship Fund, which would, quote, assist low-income students who wish to pursue higher education in the field of technology services, end quote. Beyond financial assistance, though, GTI offered a 60-day on-site technology training period, which went so far as to assist with potential childcare and transportation needs. The quote-unquote family-first mindset of this time period really gets me going, because it's so clear to me that Mark had the opportunity to do some real, honest, good work in his community. He was making a difference. He was helping people. And maybe it was for the accolades. I'm sure that was at least part of it for him. But, you know, to me, that doesn't matter because he was doing morally sound work for the community. And he could have kept flexing that philanthropic muscle. He could have gone in that direction and really made such a positive difference in Frederick. Instead, he chose greed, money, material things, stuff. Status. It sucks. 2005 was a banging year for GTI, over $2.5 million in annual revenue, their highest amount since the company's inception. In 2006, Mark participated in an economic survey for Sovereign Bank, which would become Santander Bank in 2009. This banking institution will be a major part of the investigation into Mark's crimes. I thought the economic survey was worth mentioning just because it seemed fishy to me that he was being publicly linked to Sovereign Bank as early as 2006. That's just my opinion. It might have nothing to do with nothing. GTI had a less successful but still totally viable year and brought in just over $1.7 million in annual revenue. And to add to his community engagement, Mark completed the Leadership Maryland program. I want to pause here for a minute to talk about all of the home improvements that my dad was having done at our new house between 2003 and 2009. He had our basement renovated twice. The first renovation included a wet bar, theater room, sitting room, storage room, craft room, and wine cellar. The second renovation featured a fitness room and second laundry room. He also had an in-ground pool built in our backyard, a Trex deck that covered the length of our house, a stone paver patio with a koi pond off of it, and a detached three-car garage with a mini concrete basketball court. Then in February of 2007, something major happened. Mark's father, Jack Gaver, died at the age of 76. I remember that when I learned of this news at the time, I was furious because I'd heard that Jack's second wife, Nancy, had told my father that he was unwelcome at the funeral. So I did what any rational 20-year-old would do. I looked up her phone number in the phone book and called her ass. I remember yelling at her through hot, angry tears that my father had every right to say goodbye to his dad. She had no emotion in her voice as she said to me, "Jack didn't want him there." So my dad didn't go. He never talked about it, but I always wonder how that affected him deep down. It must have been very painful for him. It's interesting, but not until now have I put together my father losing his dad and the impact it could and might have had on his crimes. Mark had some deep emotional wounds from the man who raised him, and he never dealt with those wounds. I'm not saying it's any type of excuse whatsoever. It's just interesting to note that Mark's father died in 2007 and the fraud began in 2009. Also in 2007, GTI became a member of the Frederick Chamber of Commerce. Mark served on the board of directors and his bio was featured in the Frederick News Post along with the other board members. This time he claimed to not only have graduated from Shepherd College with a degree in political science, but also an MBA in finance from West Virginia University. No one in the community had ever called him out for anything, so he became all the more emboldened with every article, it seemed. What happens next makes me sick to my stomach, and to think that it went on for 7 years is just unfathomable. On next week's episode, I'll fill you in on family life in the early 2000s, the good, bad, and ugly. There's a lot to unpack here, and we'll get into all of it. It may not seem relevant to my father's crimes, but trust me, every facet of this man's life ties into the crimes he committed. It will all come full circle, my friends. And before we go, I found this file in all of my father's court filings. I thought it would be appropriate to share on this episode because it's a handwritten letter that he wrote to his public defender while he was awaiting sentencing. It is a list of all of his charitable contributions. I think he thought that it would make him look better if his public defender read it for the judge at sentencing. It's not a bad tactic, so I do have to mention one little dig that he took at his public defender, and this is totally reminiscent to me of something that he would have, like, said to me, like a similar kind of jab. You know, details this whole letter of, like, attached you'll find as comprehensive as possible, listing of my community service and charitable contributions for the past several years, blah, blah, blah. It's a couple of sentences. He kind of shits all over the judicial system and the prison system. But his last sentence to his public defender, this guy who's, you know, doing him a solid, is, "I'm aware that a second-year law student could do this job almost as efficiently. Sincerely, Mark Gaver." So that's my dad. So this is what the handwritten list says. "Over the past 25 years, I have supported many charities to the tune of several hundreds of thousands of dollars without seeing a list, which was maintained by the CPA firm of Boyle and Company. I cannot tell exactly how much was given to which organization in which year. This list is thereby not complete or definitive." And then he lists, I love his greater than or equal to symbols. It's great. "Greater than $100,000 over a 25-year period to Christ Reform United Church of Christ. Greater than or equal to $115,000 from 2002 to 2015 to Frederick Memorial Hospital. Greater than or equal to $20,000 over a 7-year period to Hood College. And then he mentions the GTI Federal Scholarship Fund at Frederick Community College, which we talked about earlier. He says that was $12,500 over a five-year period. And the way he describes that program in this letter is granted to single mothers who are pursuing a college degree. So I think he kind of spices that up a little. Okay, greater than $350,000 in cash and in-kind services to the athletics department, Middletown High School sports boosters, greater than or equal to $50,000 to my mother's college alma mater, which I'm going to keep private, greater than $50,000 raised for the Alzheimer's Association, greater than $20,000 to Shadowwood Community Foundation, that is in, that's the country club they belong to in Florida, I believe. $8,000 to the Holocaust Museum of Naples in Florida, greater than $2,500 over multiple years to Kiwanis International, and donated 5 computers and technical support to improve Middletown High School technology programs. Oh, I remember when he did this. It was when I was in high school. Done through GTI Federal. Yeah, that's what it says. I do remember this. I remember thinking it was pretty cool that his company had donated to my school. So there you have it. I thought that would just give you a little bit more insight into Mark. If you liked this episode of The Felon Who Raised Me, please share it with your friends. You can also help spread the word by giving The Felon Who Raised Me a 5-star rating and review. Follow me on your feed so you don't miss an episode. I'll be back next week with episode 3, A Father's Conditional Love. Thank you so much for your support. Take care of yourself and remember, families are complicated. Give yourself grace, set healthy boundaries, and choose people who choose you. And as always, my sources will be linked in the show notes because I always cite my work. Love you guys. Bye.